Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, creepy voice guy. My name is Tony Brewski. Jenny Brewski. On her final day of vacation, if you will. She's off visiting some family in the large state of Texas, and she shall be returning to our broadcast tomorrow, if all goes as planned. So, looking forward to having her back in the studio. Today, real ghost stories from real people. As you know, that's what we do here. Open lines. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in to share your real ghost story with us, as we would absolutely love to hear it. Of course, you can also write in your stories through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us, and we would, like I said, absolutely love to hear them. Let's go right into a call at 855-853-4802 and start getting a little bit freaked out for today, shall we? Let's kick it off here with our first caller. Da-da-da. Press this button, press that button, and all right, here we go. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Greg from Denver. I'm a First Nations healer and ordained minister, and I also practice traditional Chinese medicine. I'm a master herbalist. I wanted to clear up some things about the use of sage. Traditionally, we don't use white sage for clearings. White sage is used to invoke the ancestors when you are doing blessings and things of that nature. It calls down the spirits. When we do clearings, we don't use white sage. We use a mixture. It's five herbs, specifically for cleansing, and specifically for dealing with shadow people. Shadow people hate this mixture, and for some reason they don't like it, and it gets rid of them. The concoction is straight sage. It's a wild straight sage, not white sage. Lavender, copal, cedar, and sweetgrass. And this mixture is we use that to sage to smudge our areas that we're cleaning. We also usually do it when it's raining out. Water washes away and helps clean. So we would start at one end of the house, seal up all the doors and windows, and push all that bad energy out, and seal the threshold when you're done. The same way a lot of people do it with white sage. But yeah, a lot of people are getting that wrong, and it's actually causing them a lot more problems than they begin with, because here they think they're cleansing the place, and they're actually stirring things up and calling down more. So yeah, these new agey people, they need to stop playing with stuff that they don't know how to use. These tools are powerful. If you don't know how to use them, leave them alone. It goes the same thing with a Ouija board. It's a tool. You don't know how to use the tool, then leave it alone. All right, Tony. Jenny, thanks. Love you guys. Keep it up. And maybe I'll call back and listen to my ghost stories. I've experienced some interesting things over the years. Enjoy. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that that insight with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, because I have questions about that all the time. I have, and I kind of lightheartedly joke a little bit and ask, you know, can I use the sage that I stuff my turkey with? And I'm not, yes, it's kind of silly, but at the same point, I'm probably not alone in wondering that if, you know, coming from someone who doesn't do that. I just talk about the topic. I learn about the topic. I don't actually practice the investigating end of the topic or the cleansing end of the topic. I'm just I'm here learning with you guys as we do this show, and that's kind of what I think is kind of fun about this. A lot of times we're on this journey together, and we're all picking up bits and pieces of knowledge that we otherwise did not have. And I think that's very important, especially on a topic like this, where there's not necessarily always a right or wrong to it, or a true or not true. I mean, unless someone's blatantly making something up, you know, it's hard to argue with someone's experience if they believe they experienced it. You know, as far as what the origins of that experience are, that's what we talk about. We try and figure that out here. So thank you for providing that insight for us. We do greatly appreciate that. Our number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, my name's April. I've called in before. I want to tell you a story. My friend Joseph had told it to me, actually. When my friend Joseph was still living, he had been hit and killed by a train. And hearing your train story on your EPP episode, it made me think of this. He said that actually what happened with him is he said that he was standing by the train tracks. He could hear the train, he was standing there, and two guys ran up from behind him and just shoved him on his back, and he fell forward and hit the train tracks and was instantly hit by the train and killed. And so he had told me that when, like, right after he had gotten hit, he said that the train hit him and it killed him. Like, at such a rapid speed that he said his spirit was literally thrown from his body. And that's how he actually became a ghost. He was literally thrown out of his body because it happened to him so fast. And he said that, the train engineer, he hit the brakes as fast as he could. After a while, the train was able to stop. The engineer got out, and he kept on just repeating, "I think I hit something. I think I hit something." And he ran down the street and looked at the train cars and at the wheels and the ground and the tracks and all that. And there was just nothing but blood and body pieces and organs and gross stuff, like, all over the street, all over the train tracks and everything. And so Joseph haunted the train tracks for, like, about 20 years, 22 years. And when I moved out to San Bernardino, I had gotten this apartment, and it was about four or five, like, houses down from where these train tracks were. He had died 20 years prior to me even coming there, so I didn't know him in life. Anyway, so what had happened was one night I was walking home from the mall, and as I was walking home from the mall, some guy in a car just kept on following me real slow and asking me, oh, hey, do you want a ride? Come on, get in. It's cold out. And I told him, I said, look, leave me alone. I don't want a ride. Get away from me. The guy kept following me. So we get to the train track. I get to the train track, and as I'm standing there, it was like all of a sudden when the guy actually stopped the car and started bugging me again, I just felt this like huge like entity presence like standing like right behind me on the train tracks. So this guy in the car looked like scared shitless, and he just like floored it and took off out of there real fast. And so I turned around, and I saw this ghost, and it was a white man with brown hair, blue eyes, white t-shirt, jean jacket, jeans, and tennis shoes. And he just stood there, and you could tell it was a ghost, you know. And I told him thank you, and he told me I was welcome, and he said, wait a minute, how did you hear me? So I explained to him I was a medium. And so we went and kicked back at my house, and we just sat there for probably a couple hours, and he just told me about his life. And I asked him, you know, I said, do you want to haunt the train tracks for the rest of eternity, or do you just want to leave and just choose not to haunt them no more? And he kept on talking about how, you know, he had been murdered. And I told him, I said, I know, but you're never going to find the people that did that to you. I said, you'll never find out who they were or anything. So finally, after we became really good friends, I asked a spirit guide to me. And he was like, okay. And I said, think of it like a guardian. Think of yourself like a guardian angel. And he was like, okay. And so that's how he became my guardian angel. But hearing the train track story today just made me think the train story on the EPP episode reminded me of my friend Joseph, since he died on train tracks as well. But thank you for listening to my story. Goodbye.
If only it were always that easy to have a conversation with the dead. Thank you for calling in and sharing your tale and your encounter with a friend. Unfortunately, a friend you probably couldn't have a cup of coffee with, if you really think about it. It's an interesting way of concept there. The idea of becoming friends with someone you never knew in life, but somehow becoming very close with when they're dead and you're still living. I think that's a new one. I don't know that we've had a story quite like that before. If it's stories of, you know, guardian angels and, of course, things of that nature, where it was taking some time to get clued in as to what's protecting you or who's protecting you, but to sit down, kick back, and have a conversation with the dead and reason with them about, well, if you want to go here, do this or that, here's some options, here's some ideas. It's new. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Matthew. I'm a big fan of your show, and I've written into your website, but I just remembered this story recently, and I thought I would just experiment with calling, see if it made it on the show, if it would be any different. I don't know. This was in, I believe it was in seventh grade. My grandmother had been diagnosed with breast cancer, maybe 2 years before that. And they successfully removed the breast that the tumor was in, but unfortunately the cancer had spread to her blood and she was diagnosed with terminal leukemia. She was estimated that she would have a few months to live, but she would go on to live for maybe a year and a half. Anyway, enough of that. This is on the night before she died. I believe she died around 8:30 in the morning, and she was awake. I wasn't there, of course. I don't think it. No one was there for her actual death, sadly. So we don't know what her last words are. But I just remember that that night, I had a dream. I was watching a movie or a play in a theater, and someone came up to my seat, and I can't remember what they said to me, but I remember looking back. It was either that you need to be prepared for something big that happens in the morning, or they were telling me directly that my grandmother had passed. And sure enough, not as soon as I woke up, I don't remember when I woke up, but I just remember hearing news later that morning that my grandmother had passed. And as far as I remember, I didn't have any other dreams before or after that, telling that my grandmother had passed. It was only just the one. And I don't know. Maybe it was a message from God, because it doesn't seem very paranormal. It was actually quite relaxing to know, to kind of have a heads up. So just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that. I love your show, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Maybe it was a message from your grandmother as well. Maybe it was your grandmother herself coming back in that form to deliver the message of her passing to you. We hear stories quite often of when individuals pass, of them personally delivering that message in various ways and forms. Not always just, hey, here's grandma, and she's going to say, hi, I'm dead. But no, they come in forms of animals, of signs, of other people, of other, you know. It's interesting. Very interesting. One of the reasons we do this show, because there's so many unanswered questions, obviously, on this topic. Thank you for sharing your story with us. If you like our show, please press subscribe whatever medium it is you are listening to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, now Blog Talk Radio. We are over there as well. So lots of ways to get us. And of course, we also stream our episode on Dark Matter Radio, Art Bell and Keith Rowland's project over there, and quite an interesting and exciting place to be as Art Bell returns to radio. It's an honor to be on Dark Matter with the likes of Art as he returns here very soon to the airwaves. That's exciting stuff. And to be airing so close to the man who really inspired us to do this show all those years ago. So many years of listening late at night in my bedroom at my parents' house and getting creeped out and really, really hoping he was talking about ghosts, because ghosts were like the only thing I really cared about. The UFO stuff I've just never really been that into, but the ghost topics, that was always a big treat. So thank you if you're listening to us over there on Dark Matter Radio. You can get our archive of our shows on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, so you will never be without real ghost stories. You don't have to wait just for ghost to ghost on Halloween or anything like that. Hope you're enjoying the show wherever it is you are listening to us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Marissa again. I'm just calling because I finally heard myself on the show, and I guess you guys had some questions that I feel like it's probably a good idea to answer. I am the same Marissa who was talking about the teenagers in the abandoned house, and you guys were asking a question about feeling this entity having been in a lot of pain. In my experience, and I've talked to my family a about it as well, is that a lot of the times in a high-stress situation, people feel a specific type of way. And sometimes if it's really, really high intense, it can leave the imprint in their hauntings. So if someone was really murdered in a horrendous way, a lot of the times they'll be either tremendously confused, terrified, in pain, and these are a lot of things that you can feel sometimes, and that's what happened in that situation. I've done a little research and found out that there was a lot of kind of satanic rituals going on at the time in that area, which seems to have moved now. So that could have had a lot to do with it. As for my other story, having called about things happening in my home and things following me around at work, I have an update for that. It seems things have kind of escalated a little bit. There are days where I'm home alone, especially when I come out of work and everyone goes into work pretty early. So I'm here by myself for a good chunk of the day, and it's gotten a little hard to sleep. I haven't told my boyfriend about this. I don't think he'd be very happy to hear that my sleep is being affected by something else. A lot of the times I will turn everything off in the house before I go to bed, except for the air conditioner, and I will wake up about an hour after I go to sleep because the AC has turned itself on, off, I mean, and everything in the house will be on. And as for the things happening at work, they seem to be more active, coming more often, more frequently. It's not that I'm sensitive to other things. I am sensitive. I do feel when there's other presences nearby, but my concern is when the presence doesn't feel malicious, but it doesn't feel good either. That's something that concerns me a little bit. If anything gets worse, I'll probably call back and update, but so far, it's just getting a little more unsettling as time goes by. I'll probably talk to my family about getting something done about it. But thank you. I'll keep you updated, and I'll probably call back at some other time with some other stories. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your experience and your story with us. That can be confusing sometimes when you get the vibe that whatever it is or whoever it is that is around, that's not there, that's dead, is negative. It can very easily be confused for something demonic. And I don't know that in all times it is, but, just as you wouldn't want to surround yourself or have to be by a negative human being, I don't think I'd want to try and engage or have to be surrounded by a negative, dead human being either. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Brittany, and I want to say probably the past 2 months we've been listening to you guys daily. I mean, we've been going through a lot, so we were homeless for a while, and now that we have our place, we still don't have cable or anything, so I'll just let you know that basically you guys have been everything we listen to day in and day out, so I'm hoping you play us on the air, guys. Me and my mom have been having, for the past few years, like, a lot of, like, negative experiences, and I'm calling because in our new home, we actually had our first experience that wasn't negative at all. It was actually very positive, and it was really weird, and it was just like, when you tell it to anybody else, they'll say, oh, it was this, but we know what it was. So me and my mom were sick for like a week straight because we have this like horrible stomach disease, and it somehow just managed to trigger at the same exact time, and we were sick for a week straight, almost like deathbed hospital sick. So one of the first days we were better, we were upstairs cooking, and the place where we're living now, when my mother was a teenager, her first boyfriend, this is his family's house, the same house that she was, you know, back then, this is where we're living now. So we live here, and she takes care of her ex-boyfriend's father, and who is a wonderful man, by the way. And him and his wife have owned this house almost since it was built. Before it, there was the owner had it for 2 years after it was first built. And then after that, they've had the house since. So this is their house to the core. And a few years ago, his wife had passed away from lung cancer. So my mother was sitting there, and she told me like that she just felt like an overwhelming like sense of peace. So like she was by herself at first when this happened. She started to just talk to her like, oh my goodness, I can't believe like what happened in this past week, Blanca. Like we almost could have died. And she said that she was just saying how we were just so tired of and trying to like push ourselves, you know, and we just felt so tired. And she was like, you don't know how I wish you were here, even just to help me cook right now. And my mother was making hot dogs for us. So as she's cooking, she's like, you know what? She puts the fork down and stops moving them and everything and leaves them in the middle of the pan. And they're not moving or anything at all, budging. And she goes, can you help me? Like, she literally asked her, like, you don't know how I just wish you can help me cook right now. And it's like somebody picked up a fork and started pushing the hot dogs back and forth across the pan. And then the second my mom said for it to stop, it stopped. And the hot dogs were right back in the middle of the pan, like they were not touched. And then when my mom told her to move a certain one, it started to move, and when she told it to stop, it stopped on command. And then when she said, can you do mine now? She moved hers, and then when she asked it to stop, it stopped, and I was standing right there as it was happening, and it was an overwhelming sense of something happening, but nothing bad. It was peaceful. And when my mom got so excited about it, she went to go tell her husband. And when we went to go tell him, he said, oh, yeah, she's here all the time. We don't talk, but she shows herself to me all the time. She's always here. So it's like that just, like, confirmed it. And it was just such a weird experience. But to finally have an experience and feel like, wow, this is real. And thank God, instead of it being something negative, it was a positive. That was good. So I figured, hey, maybe I can share my story with you guys, and hopefully we hear it over the year. Thank you guys, because you've helped us through a lot, and keep up the good work. And now that we have our new place and we're getting ourselves together, we're just going to try to become EPPs as soon as possible. So I just wanted to thank you guys for what you're doing, because for people like us that think that there's nobody that we can talk to about this or anything, you guys made it a show like this for us, and I listen to you guys day in and day out, and I appreciate you guys to the fullest. So I just want to say thanks, and I hope you guys play my story, and God bless.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing your story with us. We greatly, greatly appreciate that, and it's an honor to be able to be there and help be a source of entertainment and maybe some relief in some rather stressful life situations. So thank you for sharing that with us, and we're happy to do this. We love doing the show with you guys. Your story, there was an element to it that reminded me of a story we had the other day, where it was almost kind of like the the time shifting thing where you're talking about cooking the hot dogs and all of a sudden they were there and they weren't. And it was similar to that letter we had it was about a week ago or so, I want to say. I think it might have been an EPP episode. I could be completely wrong, but I think it was an EPP episode. And essentially the gist of it was families, cooking their dinner, and all of a sudden everything that was being cooked, sliced up, is back in place. And the kids that are working on this, I believe they're making hamburgers. The meat that was being cooked is suddenly back in the package in the fridge, unopened. And they could still somewhat smell the cooking scent, but somehow it was like a time shift or a wrinkle in time. Very bizarre. But that had some reminiscent notes of that in there. Thanks for sharing your story. 855-853-4802 is our number to share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller and hear another real ghost story. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. Sarah from Newport News. I had written in a story a while ago, but I don't know if it went through because I haven't heard it. And some of the calls I made after the story are airing that I've heard, which is great. I love it. But I kind of wanted to say that story so you guys kind of understand that some of them that I've told after allude to certain aspects of that story. So I was 7 years old. I was sharing a bedroom with my younger brother. And we had shared a bedroom our whole lives up to that point. My mom and dad decided that it was time for, us to have separate bedrooms. And my older brother was getting to the age where he could sneak out of the house. So she moved my older brother upstairs, and I moved. She created this whole bedroom for me. It had, yellow and blue checkers and frills and shelves with porcelain ballerinas on it and this pretty white furniture. And it was just for me. I mean, it was every little girl's dream bedroom. It was amazing. But it was downstairs, and everybody else slept on the second floor. Mom, dad, my older brother, my younger brother, they were all now up on the second floor. So I was the only one downstairs. So the first night that I actually stayed in the bedroom, I was laying in bed. I was all excited. I'm in the princess room. I've got a queen size bed, which means I'm a queen, and little girl stuff. And I am laying in bed, and the lights are all off, and the house falls silent. And mom and dad are asleep. They've tucked me in. Everybody's asleep or on their way to being asleep. And I'm laying in bed in the dark. And I'm looking out my bedroom. I looked out my bedroom window, which was on the left side of me. So I'm laying in this giant, little tiny me is laying in this giant queen-size bed, feeling like a princess. And I'm starting to get creeped out. It's dark and I'm alone and, this is the first time I've really slept alone. My brother was always there with me in the same room. So I'm like, oh, everything's fine. So I'm looking out the window, and I look in front of me, my eyes shifted. I was getting, sleepy. And I looked in front of me where my armoire sat, and it was this pretty white armoire with a mirror and stuff. And I switched my eyes over to that because it was all new to me, and I was kind of taking it in. And in front of my bed, there was this man, or what I assumed was a man, because it was just I can repeat what everybody else is, a shadow guy. He, blacker than black. He was what appeared to be wearing a long coat of some. The silhouette resembled something that he was wearing, a long coat and a wide brim hat, kind of like an Indiana Jones hat, not quite a cowboy hat, but not like a fedora. And he was standing at the edge of my bed. And at first I was like, what in this, you know, what is tricking my eyes into, what shapes are making this man? Because, you know, like, yeah, sometimes you see things and they're not really there. And I was a pretty logical child. I tried to figure out puzzles and stuff. So I'm, like, looking at things and I'm, like, shifting my head and trying to, like, change the shape. And all of a sudden I realize, oh, my God, this thing is really standing at the edge of my bed. And, you know, there's a man. There's a man in my room. And I couldn't move. I you know, like, and I'm like a deer in the headlights anytime I get scared. I don't scream. I just, like, you know, I shake really hard. Like, I petrify. And that's my fight or flight. I'm like a freaking fainting goat. But I realize this man's standing at the edge of my bed. I can't, and I'm just looking at it. And I close my eyes, and I just start thinking, ballerinas, puppies, flowers, you know, princesses, you know, diamonds. I'm thinking anything pleasant, because that's what I did when I was scared. Anytime I was scared, I would just close my eyes really tight, and then I would think of all, you know, great things. I would think of, like, you know, fun things or friendly things or pretty things or, you know. And I would just repeat those words over in my head, and I opened my eyes, and he was still there. And all of a sudden, this red ball of light, maybe the size of a softball, with the same kind of look as, like, a if you're looking directly into, like, a red laser pointer, starts bouncing all around the room, off the walls, like it's somebody is playing racquetball in my freaking room. And I'm just staring and watching this thing. And my little dog, Nikki, is outside of the bedroom now, whining and barking and scratching and freaking out. I could hear her running around outside. And I've got a story about Nikki, but I'll tell that later. But my poor little dog is freaking out outside my bedroom. My mom from upstairs hears Nikki start freaking out. So she runs down the stairs. She sees, and from this point, it's my mother, you know, telling me what her point of view of the story was, because later on in years, I kind of went back through and was like, did this happen? Am I crazy? You know, am I, like, remembering things wrong? Or so she comes down the stairs. She sees a red light, like a red glowing light underneath my bedroom. She thinks somebody's broken in. Somebody's come in through the, because my bedroom led right out to the backyard, and it was a fenced-in backyard, so you could easily walk up the side of the house and get into the backyard without anybody noticing you, really. So she was like, somebody broke into my daughter's room, and they're doing something to my daughter. And Nikki's freaking out because he hears them. So she busts through the door, and the man disappears. The light disappears. As soon as she throws on the light, she didn't see the man, but she saw the light. So she busts into the room and sees me laying in bed, and she runs over to me, and she just, like, engulfs me in her arms, like, you know. She just grabs me. It's her first instinct was to just grab me. So, at that point, I'm just kind of in shock. Like, I don't know. I'm not comprehending what I just experienced. And so anyway, she, you know, at this point, she starts screaming for my dad. She throws off my blankets, and I'm naked as a jaybird. Like, and I had been wearing this nightgown, and it was a red plaid nightgown, and I had gotten it from my great-grandmother the Christmas before she died. It was the last Christmas that we had spent with her, and it was the only Christmas that I had spent with her, and she favored me right away. So she got me this little nightgown for Christmas, my Christmas PJs, and they were missing. And she starts screaming for my dad. She lets me go as soon as she realizes I'm naked. She starts looking for my nightgown in the sheets and in the bedding. And she looks on the floor, and then she looks under the bed, and she sees it under the bed. She pulls it out from under the bed, and you know, attempts to start putting it on me, and realizes that it's, like, ripped to shreds. Like, it's been shredded. Like someone took a gnarly pair of scissors to it and drops it and just grabs me and carries me out of the room. And that's all I recollect, and that's all she really had to say about it. So much later in life, she tells me that her sisters, she had 8 sisters and brothers, and she was the middle child of that. So at the time, there were 6 sisters, and they all lived in the attic in the 70s. So she's living in the attic of this house with little, you know, beds lining the walls, and with her 6 sisters. And the same thing happened to her. A red ball of light started, you know, bouncing around the room. Her nightgown went missing, shredded, and her mother, you know, ran up, saw the light under the door, ran into the, you know, and everything was fine. But they blamed, you know, her parents blamed her. So mine didn't. Mine was like, oh, I knew exactly what was going on. And she had seen the man before, too. It was the first time that I remember seeing him. But there's many more stories that she's told me before I recollect anything and after. So I kind of want to just, like, throw that story out really quick, and so you guys have something to understand where some of my pieces of the story are coming together. And I hope you enjoyed it, because, you know, really, at this point, all I can do is entertain other people with my story. Nobody believes me, so, you know, yeah, it is what it is. But this happened. It was probably one of the most aggressive things it is the most aggressive thing that has ever happened to me. I've never had, like, to me, personally, I didn't have any scratches or wounds on my body, but the nightgown being under the bed and shredded up to, you know, scraps. And I'm still super upset about that. I still think about that nightgown. I've got a picture of me and my mom. I've got a braided hair, you know, head braided, and my thumb is in my mouth, and my mom's holding up my braid, and I'm, like, sitting on my grandma's lap, or my great-grandma's lap.
It's an interesting story, and it's good that you still have that for the memory. What's disturbing about it is just the fact that it was able to physically do harm to an object that was so close to you. It makes you scared of what could it do to you if it has the power to do that to an object. Does it have the power to do that to a living person as well? That's the, I think, most disturbing part of that story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Pam, and I'm about to tell you about my experience growing up in a house that was built in 1780-something. So it was originally built as a like a farmhand house. The people that worked on the farm still live there. And my parents' sons put an addition on it and everything. But growing up, you know, my parents were definitely against the whole everything has they were definitely against hauntings. They totally did not believe in ghosts or anything like that. I always got a weird feeling being around, especially in the dark, in certain rooms, especially rooms that were built without the addition on them. Very scary. Anyway, when I was growing up, I definitely, me and my brother were both very imaginative kids. So obviously my parents kind of brushed any imaginary friends off as like, this isn't like anything paranormal. This is just like, they're just having some kind of like, paranormal, inspiration. I don't know. They're just imagining these things, obviously. So I remember just a very simple imaginary friend. Her name was Chelsea, and she had on a dress, and she had like curly blonde hair, blue eyes, and she would always have me like chase after her, which is kind of weird. Like, I never really talked to her. The only thing I remember was like chasing after her. That's all I remember. But what's really interesting, I think, is my brother's experience. Again, he was a very imaginative child. How do I even explain it? He had this one imaginary friend named George, which my parents thought was kind of weird. This was in 1989 or so, or even later, like the 1990s, and my parents thought it was kind of a strange name, given the times, but whatever. He had his imaginary friend named George, and he was about a preteen. And my brother didn't tell me about this until like just this past year. And I'm 24 now, so my brother is like 28. And he didn't tell me all the details until very recently, so it was very interesting that he explained to me that George was a preteen. So when my brother actually saw him, he was about 7 years old, but George was a preteen, so he was like 12. And he would constantly be like, come on, come with me to the special spot, come with me to the special spot, and he would have him follow him to this very particular spot, which I have a fairly big backyard. I live in upstate New York, and I have like about a few acres of land before it turns into like into woods. So there's this one area, and it's like a swamp, and above the swamp there's a tree. And so like George would constantly be like, come with me, follow me to a special spot. So my brother would always like always go there, always be just sitting there, like sitting at this place. And my mom would ask him like, what are you doing? He's like, I have to go to the special spot. And he would go to the special spot, and he would just like basically meditate, which is very strange for like a 7-year-old, I think. And he had a lot of energy also, so it was a very strange place for like a young kid to be met. Like, he met, like, basically, like, reflected there. He reflected on himself there. And it was kind of a strange thing. And he told me about the special spot, so I referred to it also as the special spot. And what I'm really thinking is that, like, something happened to George there, or he took his own life there. I'm not really sure because I never saw George. But I definitely think that there's something to this little area. Why would a 7-year-old boy refer to it as the special spot? And he still does now. I mean, he's 28. He's still like, he remembers the special spot. And growing up, he would always like knock down bushes and things, like bushwhack over near there, and just make sure like the special spot was like in good condition and stuff. It was very strange. And I mean, that's really it. I had weird feelings in some parts of the house, but nothing bad. And it was just interesting, like living in such an old house. But I definitely think when I talked to him recently and he told me about the special spot, it was just it was something that, like, you know, I think there's something to it. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Anyway, let you get back to your show. And I am an EPP, and I love your show. Great, bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. It truly does sound like he was, I don't want to say summoned to go and conversate with that entity. And I don't want to say possessed either, but there was obviously something going on with him that was enjoyable, I guess, for lack of a better term. Something that was sensorily making him happy in order to go there, get into that mindset, and then conversate or interact in his own way with that entity. And it is disturbing when it's happening to a 7-year-old, because you don't know what exactly it is that is interacting with him. Very interesting story. Thank you for calling it in. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny Bruschi. My name is Arielle. I'm from Indiana. And I've had a couple of strange things happen, not necessarily to me, but within my family. Nothing too crazy, nothing big. But I thought I'd call in and tell you about something that I've recently remembered from a couple of years ago. My sister is from Indiana with me, but she moved to Florida a couple of years ago for her teaching job. She had a daughter when she first moved, who was about 3 or 4 years old. And when they first moved to Florida, she developed a friend. We thought it was like, you know, just an imaginary friend. I never had one, but my sister had one when she was younger. So we thought nothing of it necessarily. So her daughter would talk about her friend a lot, and, you know, they'd be playing. And I can't remember. There was two of them, and I can't remember their names, but it was something very specific. A name that you wouldn't necessarily hear often. So a little time went on, and she had these friends, and, you know, my mom would call and talk to my sister and talk to her daughter on the phone and ask her, you know, how her imaginary friends were. And, you know, she'd say, oh, we're cooking or we're playing games. And we called one morning, and my mom asked, you know, how's your friend? What have you guys been up to? And she said, I killed her, in response. She said that I killed her. And we were like, okay, that's kind of weird that she would say something like that. And my sister immediately was like, you know, why are you saying that? And she was like, I did. Like it was nothing unusual for her to think. And it was about the next morning my sister called, and she said, you're not going to believe this, but I turned on the news this morning, and on the news they had done a story, and a mother and daughter by the same name of her imaginary friends had been killed by the mother's husband in the same exact way that her daughter had been described that she had killed her imaginary friends. I'm not really sure if that's paranormal. Maybe it's kind of goofy. Maybe we think too much into it. It could have been a coincidence. But we thought it was really weird. And I had forgotten about it for a minute. My sister's in town visiting. And since the incident, her daughter has no recollection of it. She doesn't remember. She's a little older now. She's like, I never had an imaginary friend. You guys are crazy. So, yeah, that's about it. I have a couple other things. Maybe I'll write in or call in and tell you about. Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Greatly appreciate you taking the time to call in and recount an experience that may not necessarily be the easiest to recount to the average Joe on the street, if you will. That's pretty much how most of our stories go here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's always stuff that, well, thank God I can talk to somebody about it now, and you're welcome. We're glad that you you do feel comfortable enough to call in and share these stories with us. We greatly appreciate it. Jenny's back tomorrow. I'm excited about that. In fact, during that last call, she just texted me saying, miss you. So I said, miss you too. We're doing the show right now, and I can't wait to hear you back in the studio and see you back in the studio. So good news there. It's kind of lonely in here. It really is. I remember doing the show before her when she joined the show early on. And I've always loved doing it. It's a great, you know, it's great fun, but it's fun having a, you know, another person here with you to share in the banter. So until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.